We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here today and for all he's done. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of John, chapter 12. We're having communion today. Normally, we have it several times a year, but during the pandemic, it didn't exactly seem safe, but I think the way we are doing it today was safe enough, so we will, Lord willing, not wait very long next time. And all of those that are here this morning, we appreciate you being here. All the visitors, welcome to the house of God. I've learned in my ministry and in my lifetime, wherever I'm reading in the Word of God, I ask the Lord, let my mind go back to as close as I can to what they were facing, where they were, who they were, and I know you were with them. And it helps me. And it helps me to understand where people are there. Someone has a death in their family. I try my best to put myself to allow the Lord to help me to be in the state of mind I am where I can see what they're going through as much as I can. We know that's not always possible, but it sure is wonderful to try because that way you can have more compassion, you can have more love, you can have more concern for someone else. And as I read this text together, a lot's been going on in Jesus' life and his disciples' life. We know he is facing the cross. He came to die. He's headed to Calvary pretty soon. And that's why he left heaven, to come and offer this salvation and shed the blood. We sang about it all morning long about salvation through the cross of shedding the blood. And when the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the application of the blood in their life, there is no forgiveness of sin. So we come today to have this memorial service, this communion service, if you will, because he told us to do that. Paul told us in the book of Corinthians to do that, and Jesus himself told us to do that. So we're looking today at fellowship or at communion at the Lord's table. And as we start reading John chapter 12, verse 1, we see that it was only, the Bible says, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. I don't care how much you try, I don't think you could put yourself in Lazarus' place, but you can think about it. Now, there he had been dead in the tomb, and Jesus allowed that to happen to show us, to show the world that he is the power over the resurrection and life. But now they had a supper, and Jesus was bid and his disciples. And then the world heard about it. Religion heard about it. And so the Bible says in this passage that many of the Jews went for a couple of reasons. The Bible tells us they went, many of them, to see this man that they know had been pronounced dead, was dead in several days in the tomb, and now he's alive. I got a feeling today that a lot of people be interested in that. But then there were a lot of Jews that went to find fault. In fact, the scripture indicates, we're not going to read though, that they even went to try to kill Lazarus again. They were seeking a way to put him back to death. We don't like what Jesus is doing. Now, I want to look, first of all, at the opposition there was, to people having communion with the Lord. Here Jesus is. He came. He did everything right. He never thought an evil thought. He never took a false step. He always did perfect because he was perfect. And yet the Jews and the world sought occasion to kill him. Opposition. And now because the disciples were following him and because Lazarus was one of his followers and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were too, then the Jews. What makes people be opposed to the things of God? I don't want to put myself in their place, but I try to think where they are and where they were. There's a lot of people like that today that don't love the things of God, and they can't get him to change him or to chastise him or to do. They kept following Christ, finding an occasion to kill him. Opposition. And now they can't get the Christ and the God, but you and I call ourselves Christians, and if you are saved by the grace of God, you are Christ-like. And they don't like us either, and they oppose a lot of things that we're doing. And the lesson this morning is going to help us understand that opposition may be out there, but it cannot hinder, it cannot diminish, it cannot deter you and I from coming to communion and having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you say he's in heaven. He sure is. The Holy Spirit was sent back to abide in us, to live in us, to cause us to reflect on the things of the world and realize how awful it is, to pray for those that's in opposition. And don't let it interfere or tear down what God wants to do with you and I. So we've come this morning, and I put myself as I can in those disciples' place, everywhere they went. Remember, even when they were trying Jesus, the mock trial, they looked at Peter and said, they're finding other people that associate with him, and they want to do him hurt. And they looked at Peter, you're one of them. He realized that, hey, if I... falsely, he said, if I admit that I'm one of them, they might arrest me also, and I'll have to face. So he lied about it. But we're supposed to, in this day and time, don't care what the world says about us. Don't let it have any bearing or any stoppage to the fact that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I love the Lord, and I want the world to know that. And no matter what they try to do to oppose how you now worship, you say, well, it's not so bad out there, Will, if we only knew. Let's just don't let it interfere and tear down what God wants to do in your life and mine. Even today, we come with heavy hearts for a lot of reasons. We've got deaths in the church family, and we've got people sick and afflicted. People have surgery, and the future's unknown, and the dangers are out. We know all that. And yet, if we aren't careful of those thoughts, those feelings would interfere with our service this morning in your heart and mine to have fellowship and communion with the Lord our God. And I can't dismiss all those things from my mind and heart, but the Lord can help me to do that. So let's read some text together and see how the disciples handled it. Now, we realize in John chapter 12 that another great event just happened, that Mary had this costly ointment, and she wanted to do something special for the Lord. So let's read it. Verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the ointment, with the odor of the ointment. Here we see some opposition that was right there in the house, right there in the midst, trying to interfere to put down what Mary had done. The house was filled with the odor of the, and that's what God wants to do with you and I this morning. He wants to fill this house with the odor of the anointment of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And Judas Iscariot is there. The Bible indicates and says he was a thief. He carried the money bag, and he was a thief. Let's see what he said to try to interfere in verse 5. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Opposition to the worship service that was going on with Mary anointing the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to tear down, but it did not, because the Lord wouldn't let it interfere. He said in verse 7, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. So it's interesting this morning that since the Holy Spirit's here and you and I have a desire to worship him, and opposition is out there. It's all around. It'll be in your mind if you're not careful. Jesus would not let it interfere with that worship. If you would just come clean with him, say, Lord, I don't want anything to distract or tear down or destroy this fellowship that we have with you this morning. And all you have to do is we'll have a prayer after a while. But if you aren't in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will help you fix it real quick. Just come to him in forgiveness. Lord, I've done wrong. One of the hardest things people has ever done, Judas never came about that because he was a devil from the beginning. Satan always has had a heyday with certain people. But you and I come to Lord Jesus Christ, And if we would recognize that we are sinners, he forgives sinners. He makes us saved because of his power divine, because the anointing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ on our lives, it would eradicate and deal with the sin question and remove it. It would write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there would be a child of King, and then nothing could unless we let it interfere with the worship of our God. Judas' words and meaning did not tear down or destroy the fact that the disciples could still have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what happens in verse 9. But people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Isn't that something? That religion, and that's what they were. Jesus came, and he was opposed to the way they were carrying out religion. Why? Because he said, you're full of dead men's bones. You don't worship God. It's just a form of fashion. It's about your power, your struggle, who's in charge. Still have that today, don't we? It always will be. But you see, they were opposed to Jesus because he was not going to go along with their rituals and their circumstances and the way they were falsely trying to worship God. Jesus was pure. He was holy. He wants you and I to be pure and holy too. The only way that can happen is if you submit your life to him and you give yourself completely to him and let him every morning. You say, well, I did that when I got saved. I did too. But Paul says, I die daily because of flesh is enmity against God. And even though our spirit's saved and our soul is saved, we still live in the body, and the body is in the world. It gets contaminated by the things of the world, tries to destroy and tear down worship and the things of God. But Jesus won't let it happen if we'll only listen. So the chief priests came, and they had the wrong motive. Verse 11 says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. See, it didn't work. The Jews were there, the leaders were there to try to kill Lazarus, to kill Jesus, to destroy fellowship. But the word got out too quick. Some of them believed anyway. Many of them believed anyway. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit got to you and arrested you and brought you to Jesus before the world could then fear and tear down? The world has interfered and tried to tear down a lot of things, and a lot of people have succumbed to it and went along with it. But thank God that I was a 12-year-old boy. I was been in church all my life, never known anything but church, but I was lost. Didn't know I was lost until the Holy Spirit arrested me, brought me in the palace of the king. And in my mind, I saw myself on the way to the devil's hell. The Holy Spirit let me see that. But then quickly he said, you don't have to do that because I paid the price. I knew that in my head. But he said, I want to let it get to your heart. All you have to do is believe and confess. Well, I believe that you were the Son of God from the time I was knew anything. That's not good enough. You have to believe in your heart. I don't know how to do that. He said, I'll take care of it. Just trust me. Salvation is of the Lord. Good works won't accomplish it. Good deeds won't accomplish it. It comes, salvation is of the Lord. So now we see the opposition that they were trying to tear down and destroy the disciples and you and I even from having fellowship. It didn't work, and it never will work if we don't allow it to work. But not only that, in Luke chapter 22, verse 1, let's go to that portion of scripture and we'll be reading a good portion of that passage today in that chapter. Luke 22. Now, this happened just a few days after, remember, after the supper that was made for Lazarus up at Bethany, which means house of the poor. Jesus always comes to those poor in heart. Remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. See, we were poor. We have to become poor of ourselves, empty ourselves of ourselves, so he can fill us with himself. God never has, never will fill dirty vessels. It has to be a cleaning process. And that cleaning process is an anointed, precious blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to ask him in faith, believing, and then he will give you that. So let's look in Luke chapter 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. We don't have time to get into that. Remember the Passover? Children were in bondage in Asia, in Egypt, but God wanted them free, so he allowed that transaction. The killing of the lamb, which represents the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. So it was applied on the doorpost, and the death angel passed by. The death angel is still passing by, looking for those that's redeemed by the blood. And if the blood's been applied, and the blood was applied, so now they celebrate, they memorialize it, they do what God told them to do. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Still trying to destroy, still opposing the things of God. And those peoples had a lot of children because there's still so much opposition. But remind this morning, no matter what the opposition is, no matter how much the opposition is, it cannot, unless you let it interfere or separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God and the work of God in your heart if you will allow it. Then the Bible says, then entered Satan into Judas, named Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. That's interesting. Remember that Judas in his heart had revealed his heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And his heart already revealed who he was and what he was because he didn't want worship going on. And he tried to pretend and act like it was about feeding or helping the poor with the money that was, he called, wasted on worship. And now the chief priest had spies up there, no doubt. And no doubt they heard that. And they started thinking, hey, this man may be one of the 12. Sounds to me like he's not with them. He's opposed. So the world's always looking for somebody they can go. And Satan, of course, is looking for that too. So look what happens now. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and saw opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Wanted to do it proudly. Wanted to do it secretly. Just find Jesus somewhere and go have him arrested and put him to death. And Jesus was the one that was going to arrange that. Why? Because Satan entered into him. Why did that happen? Because Old Testament told us why. He was a devil from the beginning, trying to oppose the things of God. So let's stop spending time on the opposition of our communion with the Lord, and let's look at the disciples that were willing to be obedient to his command. God's looking for people that when he tells you something, you say, yes, Lord, here am I. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 7. We have some disciples now that were following Jesus. One of them was not following Jesus. He was in the crowd trying to oppose, trying to tear down, trying to destroy. But it had zero effect on what God wanted to accomplish. Same thing today. Has zero effect on any person that wants to worship and adore and love the Lord their God, no matter what happens. It doesn't matter. In fact, the worse things happen, the more we pray, the closer we get to God. It's always worked that way. So look at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Now, these a direct command has been given to the disciples. God gives us several direct commands. Our service for him ought to be always willing to be obedient to his command. Whatsoever he says unto thee, do it. That's what Mary, the mother, told the men at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Remember, whatsoever he says. That's a good motto in their life, whatsoever he says. As pastor of a church and as a husband and as a father of children, you have to understand that he's in control. I'm not in control of anything. I learned a long time ago that I have to relinquish my control to him. And I have to be willing to hear his voice. And when I hear his voice and he gives me a command, it doesn't matter who thinks what. It really doesn't matter. It may matter, but it won't interfere in all the disobedience and all the destructions going on and all the opposition to what God goes on. It don't make any difference whatsoever. It's whatsoever he says. And he's pleased with that. You can really get close to the Lord if you want to. And one way to do it is to have a broken and a contrite heart. The Bible says he will not despise that. And from a little boy, I always learned, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I always learned if I am obedient to my earthly father and mother, it just goes a lot better around the house. And the blessings come my way. I mean, just, son, do you need this? Do you need this? Well, I kind of worked my way up to it, but now they're asking me. Isn't that wonderful? And when you get really close to God, he will start asking you, can I do that for you? Can I do that for you? So the disciples now, they want to listen intently. So he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they just asked a simple question. When the Lord tells you something to do, it's okay to say, how am I going to do it? Where am I going to do it? And he said to them, where wilt thou that we prepare? And then when you ask him a question, he tells you how to prepare it. And he told them so simple. And his commandments are always that simple. A lot of people say, I just don't know what God wants out of me. Maybe the reason he don't tell us what that is because he knows we're not willing to do it anyway. But in your heart, if you really want to do what he wants you to do, and you're willing to do it with no arguments about it, if he says do it, I'm willing to do it, and I'll follow his directions. They're so clear you couldn't miss it. Listen how clear these directions are, the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they are obedient to it. Behold, when you are entered into the city, they knew what city he was talking about, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water, follow him to the house where he entereth in. I didn't have to make notes. We go to that city, and we're looking for a man with a pitcher of water. And there won't be two to choose from either. He knows everything in your pathway. He knows everything that's going to happen. And all he's looking for is obedient people that will do exactly what he tells to do. So here this morning, we're going to have communion. Why? Because he told us to do it as often as you do these things. And remember some me. And so we're just following his commands. His commands are really easy if you really want to do it. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he shall shew you a large upper room furnished there and make ready. Was there anything about those simple instructions that they couldn't understand? They'll be just as simple to you if you really want to listen. Whatever it is, a lot of people say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Rest assured, he wants you to know what he wants you to do far more than you probably want to know what he wants you to do. And the reason, what are you talking about? I've been there and done that. Experience is, back when I was young, I don't have time to tell you personal stories, but you know how we are, You know, Lord, I want to serve you. If, and I've always said I'll be a missionary, I'll go anywhere and do anything, but I've always said in the back of my mind, if it's not going to China, I've just always, even when my first got saved, you know, I never want to go. I don't know why it's like that. I guess one time after I retired, someone from America called me and wanted me to go to China to help design some things for a business they were doing. And since I had that in my heart, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. I said, well, maybe the Lord's want me to go. But thank God he did. Thank God. He said, well, you have to go to China. You have to get on this train. You have to ride about 20 hours to here. And I'm the only one that, and I don't know Chinese, and they don't know me. And the Lord said quickly, I forget it. Thank you, Lord. I didn't really want to go anyway. And they said, whatever you want to charge, it's okay. Just name the price. And the Lord says, no, you're under my control. You're not going to China. God's so good to us. If you really want to know what he wants you to know, just ask him. He'll tell you. So here we have disciples. They are obedient to his command, and they went, and the Bible says in 13, and they went, wouldn't you know it, and found as he had said unto them, and made ready to just what he said. That's how easy his instructions are for you, for me. If you really in your heart want to know what he wants you to do today, tomorrow, in life, who to marry, where to go to college, a lot of people struggle with all these things. And yet he has a plan. God has a plan for every one of us in their lives. God has a plan for churches. And yet churches sometimes go 2 and 3 years between pastors without a pastor because they can't decide. Well, God's already decided before the pastor even left who he wants there next. And you know he wants them to know. So problem seems to be with people, never a problem with God. His instructions are clear, and they are obedient. Now look what happens when you're obedient and follow the Lord's command. Opposition to his commands from that crowd had no effect on it. All he was wanting is some people that was willing to be obedient to his commands, and he found them. So now, as a result, they get to observe what we get to observe, observation to the Lord's communion. That's what we're going to look at in verse 14 through verse 20. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And you and I no doubt think, well, if I was him, I'd have kicked old Judas out there. He was a devil from the beginning, and Jesus knew before he ever selected him that was true. And I don't have a theology to know, and you don't either. And if we need to know, he'd have told us why he arranged all that. You can speculate all you want to, but all you have to do is say, God done right. He knew what he was doing, and he knew that that would be the one that would betray him. And he knew it would not have any control over his true disciples following him. There's a little speculation says we still live in the day-to-day when we've got the world against us. Jesus just an example. And yet him being there did not hinder or did not deter, did not have anything to do with the ones that wanted to worship and have communion with him. Isn't that good? A lot of people says, I wouldn't go to that church because there's hypocrites there. Well, if there are, it won't interfere with you worshiping God. So he didn't give you and I charge to pick out who's who, did he? That's his job. All we have to do is individually, like the disciples, Peter and John, he didn't call on the other 10. He called on them. They couldn't say, why don't you make them do it? Why don't you make Andrew do it? Peter could have said, he's the one brought me to you, Lord. It's a long journey over there. Won't you make? Have no choice. The Lord wants you and I to be obedient, have listening ears, and be obedient. And when you are, you get to observe and you get to participate in the communion with the Lord. Listen up. And he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Isn't that something? Now the Lord wants to commune with them far more than they want to commune with him. They want to commune with him. They love him. They followed him. They listened to him pray. They seen him do miracles, heal the sick, and raise the dead, and open the eyes of the blind. They knew all that. They knew he was God. And with all their heart, they wanted to worship the Lord. But their heart wasn't nearly as big as his heart. And he said, with desire, my desire, a heavenly desire. So this morning, I'm eager, and I'm anxious, and I'm very excited about getting to commune with the Lord by following his commands and drinking the wine and eating the bread. Even if it's all my heart, it's small compared to how he desires me to come. Isn't that good? The Lord desires to have his children participate in worship of the Lord our God. With desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He knew he was going to the cross. He'd tried to tell them. It didn't take. They didn't understand. And you and I, all the time we're following him, we don't understand a lot of things. We don't know why we're going through this pandemic. We don't know, probably don't need to know. All we have to know is he's in control. A lot of people aren't willing to know that. And if you aren't willing to admit and know he's in control, you got a long way to go to worship. Because to worship him, you have to realize who he is and what he said is true. All powers, all kingdoms are under submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God says God the Father gave him control. And if God gave it, it's not going to be relinquished by anybody, any world leader or anyone else. God is in control of everything. He doesn't take second. He's in control of everything, or he's not in control of anything. It's all or nothing. He is in control. And the quicker you and I learn he's in control of your life, that is, if you want to worship. You can go through formality of it. You can go through the exercise of it. But in your heart, you have to forget the opposition. You have to offer yourself and be willing to do exactly what he tells you to do. And nothing else matters. Now we get to participate. I hope you have a song to sing. Right before we do this, we're going to have a song. Somebody come sing. And then we're going to take the cup and take the bread. We know he wants us to, with the czar, a greater desire than they had. And all we have to do is recognize, understand, if we're right with God, you say, I'm not right with him. It doesn't take but a jiffy, no country boy says, to let that situation be remedied. While they're getting ready to sing, let's pray. Lord Jesus, you see us just as we are this morning. Assemble in your house, worshiping you, listening to your voice, knowing that you have arranged it. You've purposed it. You sent everyone here this morning that's here. You know of their situations individually, every one of them. You know every heart, every thought, every intent of their heart. And I pray right now that each individual will pray a prayer of asking you to forgive and to search. Lord, I can't pray their prayers, but I can pray mine. Search my heart, O God. If there be any hidden way or wicked way within me, reveal it to me, Father, so I can get forgiveness. Forgive me of all my sins, mistakes, and failures. We love you, Jesus, and we desire and thank you for desiring to let us worship you this morning. And Lord Jesus, if there be some this morning that's never received the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, their life and heart, and they've never confessed that they're sinners, then they couldn't take this communion. It's not church membership, but it's membership in the family of God. If we're saved, we can commune with you. Father, for those that may have never asked forgiveness, that you come in their heart and life, let this be the time. Let this be the moment right now. That they would just simply from their heart say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and save me, and I'll live for you, and I'll worship you and adore you. Lord Jesus, help us to be what you expect us to be as we worship and adore the Lord our God.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him. Had left a crimson stain. spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Verse 19 says, and he took the bread and gave thanks, and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do remember me.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
Bible says, likewise, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it. Of course, the scripture teaches us Judas went out, betrayed him. Jesus had a mock trial and went to Calvary. Why? Because he loved you. He loved me. And there he hung between heaven and earth. The one and only landmark that you and I have to leave here and go to heaven is through by because of shedding of the blood. Then on the third day, He arose and ascended. Now he's coming back to receive those to himself. Those are looking for him. Would you stand this morning? If you're saved by the grace of God in your heart, you're looking for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, when it's care, and remember, nothing can oppose your communion with the Lord on a daily basis unless you allow it. The world can't, enemies of Christ can't, and your flesh only can interfere. Do as Paul did, buffet your body daily to bring it under subjection. Brother Gunn, would you come and dismiss us in prayer, my brother? Don't forget services tonight. Pray for those families that's lost your loved ones.